Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey guys, we're on the monorail heading to Magic Kingdom. Cannot wait to ride Dumbo the Flying Elephant.
Hey, you know, I heard that Byron Bailey's actually going to be here today.
No way.
No yeah. way.
I swear
wait, wait,
I heard that.
Wait a second. What's up on the train tracks?
Chumbo!
Oh, he just moved. Thank God.
That was a little too easy, actually.
Trains are sneaky.
Welcome to episode 248 of the Diz His Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Ryan.
Today, we will be giving the his on Ryan. I mean, Dumbo.
Wait. I thought you were having me on for Halax.
That was last week.
Sorry, Ryan.
Well, what? That was my idea.
I know. It's a great idea. Thank you.
That was Who'd really you have nice.
On?
Some Dean? Guy with long hair.
Is it because of the jailbait song?
Yes.
All right. I guess we can do Dumbo.
Right now, we're recording live for our Goof Troop. Who's our Goof Troop? That's our patrons, our Patreon members, who pay as little as $2 a month to watch us record live. $2 a month, you get to watch us record live and be a part of the Discord. $5 a month, you're entered into giveaways. Just gave away a Steamboat Willie shirt last month. Big J, Jared, won that. He sent me a picture. It was really nice. If you want to join our Patreon, head over to our link tree, which is in the bio of all of our episodes and in the bio of all of our social media as well. Hit that link tree and then you'll see our link to our Patreon. Follow us on social media at Diz His Pod on all social media and our YouTube channel, Diz His Pod, where we go live every first week of the month.
Yeah, and if you want to send us an email, just email us at DizHisPod@gmail.com. That's DizHisPod@gmail.com. And, you know, if you happen to listen to us through Spotify, we do Q&As or sometimes we'll do polls. So if you want to get involved, do that. You can also leave comments. And, you know, we have a pretty good record of reading any comments people leave.
By pretty good. Really good. Like, we're batting 1,000.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's great. Anyway, today we're talking about Dumbo.
Before we get into the history, now... Ryan, he's not really a guest anymore because he's on so often. He's more of a, you know, step-in host and whatever. But I do want to ask our guest questions to him because we haven't asked Ryan. A few of these I know his answer.
You want to do my idea on me.
But I still want to ask him. Yeah, your idea that – yes, it was Ryan's idea to ask these questions. I wrote the questions, but it was his idea. So, Ryan, quick question.
All right, let's go.
What's your favorite park?
Animal Kingdom.
What's the most recent Disney movie you watched? Thinking of the answer to this one?
Besides Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Besides
Dumbo. How about before Dumbo?
Oh, Elemental.
Oh, okay.
Good or bad?
Love it.
He loves it. He loves Elemental. Favorite Disney villain?
Villain. Let me think about Interesting. That one. There's so many good ones. Yes. I'll say Scar.
Okay. Favorite princess?
Jasmine.
I didn't know that answer about you.
Jasmine. Yeah, me either.
I didn't until I just answered it.
So it makes sense because her psychic's a feline, a large feline.
Ah, so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Big cat guy.
And best Toy Story movie?
Three.
Three seems to be the most popular.
I thought two was the most popular answer so far.
Oh, you're right. I think
two's
you're
been
right.
popular. Three is my favorite. Two
three
is not my favorite.
Really good. Three is I like three a lot. Really good.
Yeah. What's your Toy Story? What's your order?
I haven't watched two recent enough to answer that, to be completely honest with you. But four is definitely number five for me.
That's number five out of four?
Yeah. I did not really like four at all.
I think mine's 3-1-2-4.
3-1-2-4. That might be mine, honestly.
Mine, I think mine's going to be... 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's so dumb.
But I really do think it is.
Yeah.
Basic.
Yeah. Four is the favorite for last on everybody's list.
Yeah. I liked four, though. I liked it. Unlike you two.
Yeah, I did not. Dumbo is a 1941 animated film, not the live action, guys. Not the live action. 1941 animated film produced by Walt Disney. It was based on a children's story written by Helen Aberson Mayer and Harold Pearl. the movie was made as a cheap way to recoup money after the failure of Pinocchio and Fantasia. After it was released, it had mixed reviews, but overall was deemed a financial success. Now, Ryan, you haven't watched this movie in 30 years.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I watched it with my son. He enjoyed it. Nice. Yeah, it was a good watch. I like that it was short. I do like that.
Yeah, when I saw that, like, right just over the hour mark, or was it just under the hour mark? Somewhere. Under. Just under.
It's under.
Yeah. Yeah. Loved that. Loved that. Alex, what'd you like about this movie?
You know, watching it, it's – I love watching the older Disney cartoons because the art are so well done for the time.
Really,
like,
good, yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to be like, hey, can you believe it was made in the 30s? It's like insane, you know?
It's insane. That's the perfect way to describe it, insane. I remember thinking that when I rewatching Snow White, seeing the depth that they get with those multi-layered panes.
Yeah.
And Dumbo, you know what I love about these classic Disney movies is they just didn't care. Like, they made the craziest jokes, like the elephants calling the baby, calling a baby Dumbo. Like they're making fun of a baby.
They call him a freak.
Yeah. Jumbo Jr. Jumbo. No, that's Dumbo. Like that. And then I thought I witnessed murder when she closed the door on the three elephants. I'm like, wow, this is Bambi. The thing I didn't like was it took me a couple of times to watch this, and every time you click on it, there's a 10-second disclaimer that always pops up. Give me it in the beginning, but when I go back, I know what I'm in for. I know what I'm in for.
Oh, really? I don't remember it happening when I turned it back on.
Mine did. Maybe my movie already started. I don't know. I don't mind those disclaimers. I think they're very important to acknowledge, hey, this was normal at the time. It's 2024. It is we have recognized that this is not okay, right?
Right. But I'm glad they don't edit the film because
it was
what they did during the time, and that's what made Dumbo the movie it is today, especially because it's such a crucial scene, what we're talking about. We'll get more into the history later about it, but I'm glad they don't change it. They just inform you, hey, we know this wasn't right, you know this wasn't right, but this is the artistic choices they made in the 30s, you know, when people didn't understand 40s, different stuff, whatever.
You bring up a good point. So I love that they don't change it's really good to – it's a good insight because, who said this the other day? I think it was Cillian Murphy or Christopher Nolan. I forget. Somebody from Oppenheimer and the Oscars. They said, I'm so honored that you recognize me for this award because film – we're just 100 years into film, and 1,000 years from now, this is just going to be the beginning of film. I'm like, wow, that's pretty that's insane to think about. Because it'd be like the beginning of art, like painting or something like that, like to be recognized as someone. So with Disney not editing these things out, it's really cool because now, say 100 years from now, this, as long as they still don't edit out, you can get a good window into the culture and ideology from the 1941 when this film came out and what was okay then. So I love that they're like, hey, we, you know, this is not okay today. This is the movie from 1941.
I will have a sight of worms and look at microscopic dirt, a technicolor pack of dirt. It's really too much for me.
I am not the type to think that things are odd or things are quaint. The same thing, you know, the ancient friend. We give you a mouth of fright.
Let's get to the his on Dumbo.
Dumbo was not Walt's brainchild like Pinocchio and Fantasia. It was originally an idea that was pitched to Walt, but he didn't think it was a great proposal. Kay Kamen, the studio's head of merchandise licensing, showed Walt the Dumbo story, but Walt didn't think it was worth a feature film. Dumbo the Flying Elephant was a children's book written by Helen Aberson Mayer and Harold Paul, and illustrated by Helen Durney. It became so popular that Helen and Harold would sell it to Roll a Book in 1939, so it could be turned into a pop-up book. Both agreed that Dumbo had potential, so they ended up writing a story for it and leaving it on Walt's desk that night. The next morning, Walt ran into the story department and asked Joe and Dick, What happens next? Walt then decided to purchase Dumbo from Rollabook, and Dick Humor and Joe Grant were assigned to develop the plot into an animated short. But after the box office failure of both Pinocchio and Fantasia, Walt decided to turn Dumbo into a low-budget feature-length animation in order to make back some of the loss. On January 22nd, Dick and Joe started writing their script outline, which they wrote as if they were writing a book. They finished on March 21st, and Walt loved the story. In this script, Joe and Dick conceived of the stork delivery scene in the pink elephant sequence. They also renamed Dumbo's mom from Mother Ella to Miss Jumbo, and her calf, Jumbo Jr. There's a lot of speculation online that this change was inspired by the British elephants named Miss Jumbo and her calf, Jumbo Jr. The mother and child elephants actually got their name from a famous elephant named Jumbo, whose life is just as cruel as Dumbo's in the story. Jumbo was born in Sudan in 1860 and was then imported to France after his mother was killed by poachers. After being neglected by the staff, Jumbo became aggressive with his trainers, who would feed Jumbo whiskey and beer to keep him calm. Jumbo was eventually sold to the Barnum and Bailey Circus in 1882 and sent to New York. There, Jumbo was advertised as the world's largest elephant and brought in large crowds until he was struck by a train and killed at age 25 in 1885. Barnum and Bailey stuffed the elephant, displaying it as they traveled for the next 2 years. In the script, they chose to replace the original story's wise robin named Red to a mouse named Timothy. They also added in a crow, which was later expanded to 5 crows.
Wow. First of all, did either one of you growing up get to go to Barnum and Bailey?
No.
No.
Okay. So they would come to Philly when they would tour. And I used to – it was like growing up before you knew about the animal cruelty and stuff. It was really cool to see the elephants and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why are you winking?
Back when it was cool to have animal cruelty?
Why am I winking? it was so fun. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool back then. Now before each circus, there's a disclaimer video that plays before the circus act starts. You know what's funny is I haven't been to the circus since I was little. But why would I want to go now? Because like the only cool thing about it was the animals. Now what's it, just a bunch of clowns just like walking around? Like what do they even do anymore? But anyway,
I digress. They do like that ball, that death ball
with the motorcycle. Why is that in every circus act?
I don't know.
Like, I knew exactly what you were talking about. but anyway, okay, let's talk a little before we get into the history of the making of Dumbo. I want to talk a little bit about this. How does an elephant wind up on a train track?
I don't know.
Like a moving that's, like, train. Confusing. Like that's
it's confusing.
I need to know more about this.
And elephants live a long life. Like they live to be like in their
70s. Not on train tracks, they don't.
So this elephant dying at 25.
I saw 40. I Googled and saw 40 was the lifespan of an elephant. So it was like middle aged. So still incredibly sad. And
it's got some borrowed time then.
Wild elephants of Africa and Asia 60 to 70 in captivity 40. Now if it was out in the wild on the train like the train tracks, I mean does it change? Never mind. So anyway, and what did the train look like after? That's a big. It's the world's largest elephant. Remember?
No. It was said to be the world's largest elephant.
I believe it. You're talking about the world's largest elephant against a train. I picked the world's largest elephant.
You'd be wrong because it died.
But anyway, that was in 1885. So over 100 years have passed. We can joke about it now. The grace period is over. 1970.
It was 100 years before I was born.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But all jokes aside, incredibly sad. But you know what? The Jumbo's sacrifice led to Dumbo. What's even worse about all this is they stuffed it and continued to make it tour.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what?
Do you think they presented it as live?
you know what's sad is this elephant. I heard the wages they paid this thing was like peanuts.
No, that's terrible.
Okay, back to the actual history we're talking about.
That was half the history.
It was. But it's interesting that Walt at first glance didn't think this was anything. And then people are like, no, it's something. We're going to write a story and give it to Walt.
I have a train to prove it.
What?
This story is something. I have a train to prove it.
Anyways, so I can't believe that You know, it just showed that Walt wasn't like one of those hard-headed guys that were like, no, I said no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? He was willing to go back and be like, you know what? Second glance is a good idea.
Yeah. You know, what I think is funny, and maybe this is connected, but we had and you know
what? Making a train joke, I'll be so upset.
It's not a train joke, I promise. Walt, a couple different reasons, a couple different things that could be related but might not. So Walt, you said Dumbo was not a brainchild of Walt, like mm-hmm. Pinocchio and Fantasia.
Yeah.
Pinocchio and Fantasia, brainchild of Walt, bombed, right? So yeah. So Walt was probably like, you know, let's at first glance, no. And then it's like, you know what? Let's give someone else a shot with this idea, but keep it under an hour. Like, you think it had something to do with it. Like, listen, let's not spend all our money on this. Do not make this movie long. I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Well, you'll find out later why it was so short.
Did it get hit by a train? Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
How does an elephant get hit by a goddamn train?
This is something I'm going to be looking up at 1:00
the train.
In the morning.
Train can't move,
but the train
it's pretty easy to move.
The train is coming for a long, like you can see the train for a while.
Maybe it was suicide,
right?
It jumped out in front of it.
And how was the conductor okay? It's the world's largest.
Probably not.
He probably died too. All
right, I gotta look this up now. There's a oh my gosh, I'll send this in the Discord so you guys can see this. But this is a picture
of the aftermath.
Yeah, the trade looks fine.
That's a banking. That's not a picture.
Well, it's
a picture of this child climbing on a dead elephant.
That's a trainer probably crying.
There's literally people posing with it.
Oh, dead. Whoa.
Oh, here we go. Wow. Right.
Wow. I bet they ate it. That is not the world's largest elephant.
Here's another picture.
Oh, that I like.
I know. That's pretty rad.
I want that on a t-shirt right there.
That could
there.
Be a tattoo. That could be the top of your sleeve.
That's going to be the top of my sleeve right there on my shoulder.
Wow. Wait a second. 7 years ago, train hits female Jumbo near Kauai, and it's a dead elephant hit by a train. Wait. Over the last 8 years, 10 elephants have been hit and killed. What? By trains. This is
so the train is the mortal enemy of an elephant. Yeah, there's only one thing that could take down an elephant. It's a train.
A train. That's interesting.
That's insane.
Originally, Disney planned on releasing 1942's Bambi before Dumbo, but the Imagineers were having a difficult time animating realistic animals, so they decided to push ahead of the line Dumbo. Disney wanted the film to be completed quickly and cheaply, so animators were told to use simple and inexpensive techniques. Keep the character design simple and the backgrounds less detailed. One of the techniques they used to reduce the costs, which may have been a contributor to Dumbo's amazing look, was the use of watercolor paint for the backgrounds. What are you laughing at?
You want me to cut you off. On September 15th, 1885, Jumbo the Elephant was in St. Thomas, Ontario, on tour with the Barnum & Bailey Circus. One night after the show, the world-famous elephant was being brought back to the circus train. Suddenly, out of the dark, came an unexpected freight train barreling down the tracks headed straight for Jumbo. With neither time nor luck on his side, he was struck and killed. So it's just like they were just transporting
unexpected
him back.
Wild train come through the woods.
Came out of nowhere. It's like unexpected. You're standing on a train track. Like, what do you mean it's unexpected?
You can feel the vibrations.
Unexpected.
This saved money and was a method that was stopped after Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in various cartoon shorts. All this helped reduce the cost of production, but also gave the animators a relaxed feeling, knowing they didn't have to focus on minute details. The reduction of costs also made the Imagineers try some inventive animation, which is true for a lot of successful cheap productions. The creativity that comes with obstacles that money cannot fix can bring out the best in some, especially if they're overseen by Walt. Bill Tytla was in charge of animating Dumbo, which turned out to be an amazing choice, because Bill would go on to become one of Disney's greatest animators. He started working for Disney in 1934, would animate Grumpy and other dwarves in Snow White, then move on to Stromboli for Pinocchio. He would animate the giant in the Mickey short The Brave Little Tailor, and Yen Sid in Chernabog and Fantasia. Tylett was assigned the job of bringing Dumbo to life, and he admitted to using his own infant son as reference in order to capture Dumbo's innocence. Dumbo was moving swiftly, but on May 29, 1941, a large wrench was thrown into production, a strike by the animators for better pay. The day prior, Disney fired animator Art Babbitt, the creator of Goofy, and 13 other cartoonists for trying to form a union. The next day, 300 Disney studio employees went on strike. This meant Disney had to bring in less experienced animators to try to keep production on schedule. This caused Walt to bring in some of the higher, well-established and higher-paid animators like Ward Kimball, one of the Nine Old Men, in order to help with animation and oversee the work of the more green animators. Disney also started to use photostats, a copy made by special copy machines, of story sketches instead of full layouts. Later, when Dumbo was released, many people said the scene of Dumbo wearing clown makeup was a jab at the animators, who went on strike. But Art Babbitt later explained that he was asked to animate the scene before they even went on strike.
I mean, he was also in the circus.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
kind of a stretch.
He's working with other clowns at the moment.
Kind of a stretch.
It's not like he was, you know, working in a factory in right. his cars.
Right.
Like he's holding a picket sign or something.
So you talk about a little bit about this watercolor. I love how you talked about the watercolor method was stopped after Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They stopped it after their first full-length film. Like, yeah, that's enough. That's enough.
And a bunch of shorts. But yeah.
Sure, became, yeah
well,
yeah,
they
yeah.
had enough money to get, you know, do higher or better ways of doing stuff.
Yeah, but like was it better? Oh my gosh, the watercolor is awesome.
Yeah.
No, the watercolor is awesome. Also, something I noticed with this, because I did the history before I watched the movie again. So I was able to look at some of the stuff I read about in the history. And the creating of the characters, the way they made characters, like they weren't in focus, so you didn't see their details. Like the workers were working, but you couldn't see their faces or any details. They were just silhouettes almost. And then they had the big scene with the clowns in the tents. So you can't see details. Like there's not, you know, details on their clothing because it's just shadows.
Right.
I think that's a really smart way of showing scenes and doing things quickly. But also, I think it added to the just the artwork of Dumbo.
You should just stop editing the podcast as well. And then like in 100 years, you're going to be like, wow, the way they just keep all the raw footage in there is just like so artistic.
It just adds to the charm.
You don't think so? You don't think the silhouettes were cool?
No, I do.
No, I get it. I do think they're cool.
That's what I'm saying. Like sometimes like the easy way out is like you're a genius. You turn out to be a genius, right? I love getting the information on, because you know, anyone can put on a movie and watch it and take it at face value. Hearing the stories behind the creation of these movies is so fascinating to me. Like we would have never known if we didn't do the history on this that there was a strike during it. It's crazy that you have the illustrator, was the illustrator the creator of Goofy?
The creator of Goofy
getting fired. Because he wanted like fair work conditions. You know what I mean? Like,
how dare he?
Hey, thanks for Goofy. No, you can't take a break. It's like
he wanted higher pay.
It's like, wow. And it's fascinating to know, like to because you look into the production of this movie in 1941. You don't get just the creation of the production of the movie. You get a bunch of other stuff that was all connected to this movie, like the firing of the guy who created Goofy. You know, it's crazy. It's really cool. It's like the 3 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You know, it's like, you know, this person was associated with this person who was associated with this person during the creation of this movie who was fired for this. It's really cool because you get a really good look in at how the Disney company was run back in 1941.
Well, you can definitely tell that the animation was different on this one than the other previous movies. And I think it added to it, but like you could tell they cheaped out on a few things. Like that scene where they were raising the tent.
Like yes.
They were just silhouettes. Did you ever pay attention to the song? I had the closed captionings on. Mm-mm. The song that they play?
No.
It's very weird. It's talking about them getting paid, but they blow all their money.
Oh no!
Oh yeah,
that
no,
was
I
a
yeah, that. Yeah yeah. I was
that was
very
a
strange.
Very, very dark opening.
Very
for
dark.
Such a lighthearted.
Then they put the elephants to work.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know, right? Not a lighthearted movie, but I
no.
For a Disney, I feel like it was a very dark opening with the storm and the building of the tent.
It was shot cool, but yeah, it was definitely they cut some corners on it.
It's funny because they do this to cut costs, and back then people would probably be like, "Oh my gosh, look at this watercolor! This looks horrible." Right. And then it's like we're so with whatever the opposite of spoiled is by CGI movies. Right. You know, when was the last time you could make the argument for Wish? Wish was animated a little differently.
Yes.
But when was the last time a Disney movie was animated in a beautiful way, you know? It's a cookie cutter with these Frozen-esque figures, I would like to describe them as. Everyone's just Anna and Elsa with, you know, that style.
Yeah.
Watching a movie from the 1940s that was done even cheaply is beautiful to us because it's just so different. And you get so much more character because you have things being hand-drawn and hand-painted instead of just a computer, you know, designed by somebody, but computer creating textures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you think they could ever go back to traditional animation?
Not permanently.
I brought this up a couple weeks ago when we did the history of the last movie we did. And I said the same thing. I feel like if you took animators from back then and brought them forward and was able to teach them stuff from today, they might pick up eventually. But I think the animators today would have a hard time picking up what they did back then.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because how many animators can draw?
Like, not many. A lot of them, they get a shell of the character,
right?
That's already built for them. All they do is move it around.
Basically. Not to say they're not talented, but they're more. No, they absolutely are artists.
I couldn't do what they do.
No. The other thing, if you think about the most beautifully animated films in the last 10 years, the only ones that I can think of, like off the top of my head. Avatar, which is CGI, it's just computer generated, right? And that was a little bit more than 10 years ago, I think. 2009, maybe. Mm-hmm. Into the Spider-Verse, which is like kind of touching on old school animation,
yeah,
right?
It's comic book animation.
Yeah, like you have that like 2D dimension to the esque kind of to the animation style. So it's like people are still drawn to that 2D animation style. I hope that Disney is doing it a lot more with Disney Plus. Of course it's not hand drawn, but we are getting more like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur 2D animation.
I believe so.
Yeah. Right. They did a lot of color saturation stuff.
Yeah, so we're getting a little bit more, and I think that's because they can just spit it out on Disney Plus, and if it does good, it does good. If it doesn't, then, you know, it's not in theaters across the country. I am glad that they're giving creators some liberty to be able to do stuff like that again, though. It's not going to be like Dumbo, but it's still, you know, they put their creative spin on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The production got back on track, and it was time to start casting the voice actors for the low-budget film. They didn't have to find an actor or actress to portray Dumbo, since they chose not to give Dumbo any speaking lines. This decision was made when they decided to turn Dumbo from a short to a feature-length film, but still only 64 minutes. So in order to keep it short, they chose to keep Dumbo silent, relying on the animators to portray all of Dumbo's emotions through his face and body language. Dumbo's mom, Miss Jumbo, was voiced by Verna Felton, who also voiced the fairy godmother from Cinderella, Flora from Sleeping Beauty, and Winifred the Elephant in The Jungle Book. One of the main talking roles of the film, Timothy Q. Mouse, was voiced by Edward Brophy, who had never worked as a voice actor, but instead was known for portraying gangsters in films. Mr. Stork was voiced by Sterling Holloway, which was a cameo role. The lead crow, Jim Crow, was voiced by Cliff Edwards, who was known for voicing Jiminy Cricket. There was also Herman Bing as a ringmaster and Margaret Wright as a Casey Jr., the train. The movie was scored by Frank Churchill and Oliver Wallace, with Ned Washington writing the lyrics to songs like Baby Mine, which earned a nomination for an Academy Award for Best Original Song. After only a year and a half of production, Dumbo was officially submitted to Disney's distributor RKO Radio Pictures on September 11, 1941. RKO was not happy with the 64-minute length and demanded that Disney either expand it to 70 minutes or allow RKO to pair it with a short. But Disney refused to do any of the two options, so RKO begrudgingly released it as is. Dumbo was officially released in theaters on October 23rd, 1941. Dumbo only cost $813,000 to produce, half the cost of Snow White, and would go on to earn $1.3 million. Dumbo had great success, even with the United States entering World War II 2 months later. Dumbo would go on and win the 1941 Academy Award for Original Music Score, and won Best Animation at the 1947 Cannes Film Festival. The film would become a fan favorite and would eventually make its television premiere on September 14th, 1955.
I like how they're like, no, you have to make it 6 minutes longer.
Yeah,
that's like, a big deal. Like, that's going to make all the difference in the world is 6 minutes.
But it's so metal. They're like, no.
No, like, we're not going to do it.
You have two options. You're like, you forgot the third option where we just say no.
Yeah.
let's talk a little bit about this casting. So, first of all, I did want to tell you guys, I do a really good impression of Dumbo.
Yeah, oh great voice acting on Dumbo.
See, wasn't that great?
Well, you got the look down.
That might be why this animation style was so great, is because they had to emphasize the looks of Dumbo. And, you know, one of the castings I find very funny, Dumbo's mom, Mrs. Jumbo, mm-hmm. Who also played Winifred in Jungle Book, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you just like referred to her as the elephant lady? God, get that. Let's get that elephant lady. Like, she was just, her voice was associated with elephants. So like, we can't use anybody else but her, because she's the elephant lady.
Well, they had the bear guy. Did Blue and did Little John.
They had just designated animal people. It's like, this is our bear guy. This is our elephant lady. I kind of like that. It's kind of fun. Almost like the Avengers of voice acting from back in the 40s, huh?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We had all these people.
Chris, are you even aware we did an episode on Verna Felton?
I was about to say, do you know you did an episode on Verna Felton?
Yeah, but for people who didn't.
Okay. You talked about it as if you were like, so
did you bring it up?
I mean, we've got to talk about it. It's like, this is, we're talking about this for the first time, you know?
Okay. Well, it was episode 222, episode on Verna Felton.
Legendary voice actors.
Correct.
You know, I just think it's funny how she played just the elephant lady. Anyway, the stork that delivers Dumbo. That was a really funny scene. That was a very,
love that scene. That was a very great fun scene.
I love,
but you know what I
whole,
noticed is what? Why did he have to do a whole sing and dance, but other storks didn't do that?
They just dropped them.
They just dropped them off and they just did a drive-by.
I feel like that was his initiation.
That was his initiation?
He was definitely a first-timer. He almost dropping the baby through the clouds.
He's looking at the map and stuff.
Yeah. I thought he did drop Dumbo.
And I learned that they have Florida printed on the state of Florida.
Yeah.
I did not know that. And
that's
the trains
looks
are
like
huge.
From outer space. You'd think with the train tracks being that large from outer space, you would see it coming. Anyway.
Yeah, several elephants a day die from trains.
So, I forgot this took place in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, does it take place in Florida or does it start in Florida?
It starts in Florida. They're heading north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really fun scene. I love any movie that has like the stork aspect to it. I always think that's so fun because they usually have a lot of fun with that, the animators and the storytellers behind that. So I didn't know Randy Orton had
Randy Orton
helped produce this RKO.
No, not that Randy Orton. You broke him.
Just RKO out of nowhere. He went distributed the victory.
Oh. Go on without me. So the voice of Timothy Mouse, boy, did he sound like he was from New York, though, didn't he? thing I heard, I was like, wow, he's like from Brooklyn or something.
Is that how Rizzo maybe got, maybe that's how they got an inspiration for Rizzo?
Maybe, I don't know. I was like, wow, he's not from Florida, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this guy just wants to hitch a ride back home.
He's just trying to get it nice with an elephant so he can get home.
Oh, this elephant flies too, man. Okay.
Yeah,
he can get there by train or by flight.
Yeah.
Crazy that the movie was not released on the TV until the 1950s, 14 years after its release in 1955.
That's because they didn't have TVs until the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured that had something to do with it. I just like, I'm not going to give it to like three people who own TVs.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're watching the movie, because I did the history and then I was like, wait, someone voiced the train?
Yeah, he says, I think I can. I don't know if I give him a voice credit for that.
That was so funny, though.
Kind of crazy.
That was so funny, though. I like that.
I thought I was hearing things because I was watching that scene in the shower. So it kind of sounded like my shower.
Why do you watch movies in the shower?
That's peaceful, actually. So that's going on. I was like, is my faucet acting up again? It was
again.
It was the legendary voice actor, Train Man.
Also, you know what's another thing I realized is that song in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Casey Jr.?
Baby Mine.
Oh, Baby Mine.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I never realized that was a great song.
Yeah, I didn't realize how good the music was. And I love that. We've talked about this before. I love that warm sound of the old music. So I really like that aspect of it too. That's just because it's old, though. It's nothing to do with the music part of it, but it just gives it a whole other feel.
I like the Crow song too.
All of the music in this film was sneaky good, I'd say.
Sneaky good.
Except for the one that won an Academy Award. That was
sneaky,
not
like sneaky trains, man.
Yes, yeah, sneak up right on you.
To get right up on you, kill your elephant. I have almost been hit by a train. I will say they are kind of sneaky. But Amtrak's are way sneakier than like old steam powered trains.
Please explain.
So I was fishing with my dad, right? And like, what? I'm fishing with my dad, and there's like railroad tracks. So I go back up to get another worm because they were up on the tracks, and it's on a bridge. So I'm on the bridge, like hooking up my bait, and like an Amtrak flies by behind me. I'm like 2 feet away from the thing, and almost pushed me into water. So trains are sneaky, man. You gotta watch out for them.
You can't swim, so you would have been.
I can swim. I learned how to swim.
After that day, like, oh, what does happen again?
I didn't learn how to avoid trains ever. Nobody taught me that.
Oh my god. The movie would be immortalized as an attraction in multiple Disney parks. Dumbo the Flying Elephant, an aerial carousel ride. In 1981, Dumbo was the first animated feature film to be released on VHS. There were also multiple Dumbo spin-offs, like the live-action puppet television series named Dumbo Circus, which premiered in the mid-80s. In 2001, Disney started production on Dumbo 2, but the project was delayed multiple times and eventually was canceled by John Lasseter when he took over as CEO in 2006 of Disney Animated Studios. Some of the backgrounds created for Dumbo 2 were used for Fox and the Hound 2. Dumbo IP does appear a lot in Disney video games, like the remaster's appearance as one of the villains in the 1999 PC game Disney's Villains Revenge. Dumbo himself appeared in the Kingdom Hearts series. In Disney Magic Kingdom's Dumbo, Timothy Q. Mouse, Miss Jumbo, the Ringmaster, and Mr. Stork all appear. In 2017, Whoopi Goldberg publicly stated how she wished the crows from the film had more merchandise due to them singing the song, When I See an Elephant Fly. The crows were not used much by Disney in order to avoid controversy, because they could be seen as inappropriate African-American caricatures who were voiced by Caucasian Cliff Edwards. But Disney animator Floyd Norman, the first African-American animator hired by Walt Disney Production in the 50s, publicly agreed with Whoopi in 2019, stating that animators used African-American actors and actresses to voice the rest of the crows. Animators used Freddie and Eugene Jackson, famous African-American dancers, as their live-action references for the characters. Their dialogue was inspired by Backchat from a band record by Cab Calloway and Louis Armstrong. They are even the most important characters in the film because they teach Dumbo how to fly. In 2014, Disney announced the future development of a live-action adaptation, and a year later, Tim Burton was announced as a director. In 2017, Danny DeVito was announced as being casted as the Ringmaster, and Michael Keaton as the ultimate villain who purchases the circus to exploit Dumbo. Dumbo released on March 29th, 2019 to mixed reviews and did decent at the box office. Timothy Q. Mouse and the Crows were not included in a live-action remake.
Before we get into the live-action, because I want to talk about that a little bit. So in the beginning of the episode, we talked about how film is a really good glimpse into whatever time period the movie was made in. Jim Crow, the Crow's name, was a great example of this. So for those who don't know, Jim Crow laws were discriminatory laws against African Americans that happened after the 13th Amendment was passed, which was the abolishment of slavery, and didn't end until the 60s. So this film being made in 1941, Jim Crow was like they used that name obviously to try to be funny, right? To try to market this character. And it was obviously discriminatory against African Americans. So I'm happy the direction they went with this in the 50s, not long after the movie was released, to change the name from Jim Crow to Dandy Crow. And then they continued to make some changes. But I'm glad they, again, circles back to, I'm glad they put that label in the front of this movie to kind of, you know, warn, you know, this was made back then. We can learn a lot from it. And the biggest lesson is, how do we evolve from stereotypes and stuff that were used, you know, back in the 40s? And also to teach how we have evolved from those stereotypes. So really, really interesting from a historic standpoint, being able to look at a totally fictional movie as Dumbo, right? But since it was made in the 40s, we still see some of that 1940s characteristics and ideology seeping into this film, which is super interesting. Now, fast forward all the way to 2019, get a lot of that stuff taken out. You see how times have changed, right? Animal cruelty is still okay. So they keep that in the movie, right?
Yep,
but
yep.
they take out a lot of the human cruelty, which is great. Flaw to them. You know what I thought the funniest thing about this was the original film was under an hour.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the runtime of the live action, which I have not seen yet, but I do want to see because it's Tim Burton and Michael Keaton, it's double the length. Nearly yeah. double the length of the original film. So I'm wondering, like, what else could they have put in this
movie? They stretch into it.
Right, because they took out characters.
I started the film
okay.
today just to look at it. And the movie, from the beginning of the movie, like, I didn't even see Dumbo yet in the movie.
Oh, really?
And the main character is a dad who's come back from war.
In Sudan?
No.
Yeah.
And he's come back from war, and he's rejoining the circus because he's from the circus. And okay, he has to now take care of the elephants.
They're going way deeper.
Because he used to be a horse rider, trick horse rider.
Okay.
The circus is doing so bad that Danny DeVito, who runs it, he sells the horses off and end up investing in a pregnant elephant.
Jumbo.
Oh, I thought Danny DeVito played Dumbo.
Which, you know, what's really funny is I always, you know, it's like, oh, it's cool. Michael Keaton and Tim Burton reunited. But so did Danny DeVito, the Penguin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael Keaton's playing the bad guy in a lot of things here lately.
I think he just got sick of playing the good guy.
Right? I guess so. He's like, yeah, I was Batman. Now I just want to be the bad guy.
I really want to watch that. Now, you've watched a little bit of it, Alex. Have mm-hmm. you watched it, Ryan?
No.
Okay. So, no, of course.
I'm done with live actions. I'm done with them.
Was it shot like a traditional Tim Burton movie? Like, was it a dark film? Like, not like the tone,
no.
but like the actual, like, lighting.
So far, no, but I've seen scenes from it.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've seen scenes from it, so it does get dark in certain parts of it, but the beginning of the movie, it was a little colorful.
Uh-huh.
And then but then it's very realistic in the sense, like, Danny DeVito has like a dirty shirt on and that's Tim Burton feel for sure.
Right. Yeah. 1989 Batman directed by Tim Burton. I have to watch that movie with a flashlight.
What?
It's so dark, dude. I don't actually have to watch it with a flashlight, Alex. It was a joke.
It was a terrible joke.
But anyway, Timothy Q. Mouse taking another live action. That's kind of surprising.
Again, yeah, he has a little cameo in the beginning.
Does he actually?
Yes.
Like a mousetrap? It's like, no, that's what happened to him.
They just show a white mouse that's wearing
he's not white,
band.
Though.
Okay, so they just show a white mouse with wearing his garb.
Oh, okay.
He's his such garb. A big part of the original movie. How did they take him out?
I know.
It's because so now there's actual main – now Dumbo's not even the main character. Really.
Does Dumbo talk in this one? You haven't seen him yet, so you don't know.
I haven't seen him yet, but I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I mean, it's an hour more. Like, he has to say something, right?
Like, what? They're like, amazed that he flies, and then they get done. They're like, we're going to make so much money if you fly. He goes, really? They go, what?
He can talk? You talk and fly?
We're going to stuff this thing. Let's keep him alive now.
Just stay away from trains.
You got to stay away from planes now. You fly.
Trains, planes, and automobiles, that's for sure.
You know, I love that I love the
you can do it.
Not I know. I'm trying to find the word. I love the not appearance of Dumbo in the parks, but the presence. I love the presence of Dumbo in Disney to this day. I personally think the most iconic ride in Disney is the Dumbo flying elephant ride, right? I mean, you see that in all the commercials. You see the father or the mother with the kid on Dumbo, right? What do you think Disney parks, you think Dumbo the flying elephant? What about you guys?
Yeah. No, that being said, iconic. Have you seen the walk-around character of Dumbo that they brought out a couple months ago?
I think I have. It's horrifying.
It's very, very scary.
I'm gonna post that in chat for everyone.
Yeah, bring that thing up. That's I don't know
why they did that. Because I'm curious what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think I know.
Like, I would toss that thing in front of a train. That's how bad it is.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not this
Dumbo was looked like it was from the 40s, even though the parks weren't around back then. But if they were, this is what it would look like. Terrifying.
And if you want to see these images, just join our Patreon. You can go to our link tree, and from there you can go to our Patreon and join for those $2 a month.
I feel bad putting this right under the picture.
And then, you'll be in Discord.
Pummeled by the train.
Oh, I have not seen
scary?
This.
That's bad, dude.
This is a little scary.
I don't like his eyelashes.
Yeah.
I don't like any. There's not one thing I like about this character.
Well, it's because he's a clown, right?
No, he's not.
He doesn't
that's have a bad thing.
Is that not the clown makeup. Hat?
That is.
He always wears the hat.
Yeah, I don't think there's such thing as a clown hat. Is there?
He always wears a hat. Hats? That's his iconic hat. Not really, because his iconic hat is all yellow, I thought.
I don't like anything about that.
Dumbo. Oh, yeah, it's the yellow hat. It's the goofy hat. It was probably because the guy got fired. They're like, I'll just throw his hat on and Dumbo.
Just going to go ahead and.
So it was about him.
Yeah. There's one last thing I wanted to say about this. Dumbo's the only ride that's in every single Disney park around the world,
yes.
Correct?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
correct.
It's like. Pretty amazing. Also, a very easy ride to construct. So maybe it's half of the reason, most of the reason why. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm taking Dumbo over flying carpet. I'd wait an hour for Dumbo. I'd wait an hour for Dumbo if there was a walk on for the carpets.
They literally have four of the same ride.
The Rockets, Dumbo.
Rockets and Triceratops Spin and Dino Land.
I don't know that one. Triceratops Spin was the cat and mouse roller coaster, wasn't it?
No.
What was that one? Are you sure? Yeah. Dinorama. Right.
Yeah, I used to love Dinorama.
That was a fun ride.
Yeah, I felt like I was going to die every time I was on it. Primeval World, that's it.
Yeah. That was a life experience, right there.
Terrifying.
Now, I have to guess you guys never seen Dumbo's Circus, the live-action puppet spinoff.
No,
TV show.
I was.
I just put a picture in Discord.
Is that scary?
It is a little jarring.
It's pretty jarring.
Who's the koala bear?
I don't know.
Why is there a koala bear?
There's a lot of animals.
Wow. I don't even. Is that a train? Oh, it's a koala. It's not a train.
Looks more like the Dumbo in the parks, though.
It does.
It looks better than the Dumbo in the park.
100%. Yeah. Where's the rest of the legs, though? It's only got two legs, and that's it.
That's right? Fine. I'll take it.
I chop off the other two. Put them on a train track. I don't need all four.
Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, but the presence of Dumbo in all of Disney is really cool. Such a fun character. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love a flying elephant, right?
Yeah. I like how he learned how to fly while he was drunk.
It was after he was drunk. He was
no, it was while he was drunk. Yeah, he ended up in a tree.
I guess it was.
He was drunk flying.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was blacked out drunk flying. Would you like to hear about more about Dumbo in the parks?
Sure.
In the parks. It's your man on the ground, Giles Gottman, with another installment of In the Parks. Dumbo can be spotted, of course, in the Dumbo the Flying Elephant attraction, which can be located at Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom, Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Paris Park, Hong Kong Disneyland, and Shanghai Disneyland. Disneyland in Anaheim also has the Casey Jr. Circus Train. Additionally, a walk-around Dumbo character was able to be spotted around the Disneyland park in the mid to late 1950s following the park's opening, as well as in the early 60s at many parades. There's also a pink elephant card in the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom deck once that game was still going on in the Magic Kingdom. Once again, this was me, your man on the ground, Giles Garman, with another installment of In the Parks.
Wow, it was really interesting.
I didn't know that.
Thank you, Mr. Garman. Quick fire, quick facts. Let's go. The 2002 Lilo and Stitch film was the first movie to use watercolor for the background art since Dumbo.
See, when you're talking earlier, it was so hard for me to be like, Lilo and Stitch! Casey Jr. Circus Train is actually an attraction at Disneyland in Disneyland Paris. It is also the second float in the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Domo makes a small cameo in The Great Mouse Detective as a toy that blows bubbles from his nose.
So this is like after he drank, I guess?
Drunk Hitman, Drunk Dumbo's so, best Dumbo.
So Drunk Dumbo is a kid's toy. Good to know. We hear Disney think that Dumbo is an amazing movie, showing that sometimes less is more. It is critically acclaimed as one of Disney's classic animated films. Despite being almost 80 years old, Dumbo is still one of the most recognizable Disney characters. Sandpiper Vacations is an amazing booking agency. They can book your dream Disney vacation in Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruises, and Disney Resorts. They also do non-Disney trips like trips to Universal, Sandals, all-inclusive resorts, Royal Caribbean, Virgin Voyages, Carnival, and even more. The most amazing part is, it doesn't cost you anything extra. Just head over to sandpipervacations.com and click and get a quote.
That's right, at Sandpiper Vacations, we are here not just to book your vacation, but to give you some expert tips and advice to make your trip extra special, to create those magical memories for you, your family, your friends, or whoever you want to take on that vacation.
Don't take Nick's word for it. A testimonial from a customer at Sandpiper Vacations said, Sandpiper Vacations was amazing in booking our family Disney vacation. Our agent was with us from the beginning, looking for the best accommodations, making reservations for dining, teaching us about how everything worked, telling us how to maximize our time, and just providing us all his travel knowledge. We had a family trip of a lifetime that we'll never forget. Take a look at Sandpiper Vacations on Instagram and TikTok, and visit our Facebook page, Sandpiper Vacations. That's Sandpiper Vacations. A concierge-style travel agency with endless capabilities.
Howdy, RJ here. If you enjoy the deep dives into Disney history that you hear here on Diz His, the Disney History Podcast, then you can go ahead and check out my show, Cases of Continuity, streaming on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I take an entire season to deep dive into some of the most iconic film, television, and book series of all time. Episode by episode, piece by piece, to look at the history behind each of those individual installments and the stories inside those and how those stories connect to the rest of the franchises. My first season on the James Bond films is currently streaming, and season two is going to be starting up in 2024. I hope to see you there at Cases of Continuity.
Hey there, fellow Disney enthusiasts. Scott here from the No New Friends podcast. Now, I'm not here to shamelessly plug the No New Friends podcast. No, I want to tell you all about the Diz His Goof Troop or Patreon. Now, you hear Joe and Jen and Chris and Alex talking about Patreon all the time, but I wanted you to hear from an actual Patreon member how cool it is to be a member of the Goof Troop. You get exclusive access to early release, show notes, and then my two favorite aspects, the cutting room floor material, the things that you don't get to hear on Spotify or Apple or any other platform that you listen to. And there's a lot of mistakes and a lot of really funny things that happen in that cutting room floor. Also, you get access to the live recordings. And I'm going to tell you, these live recordings are fantastic. Between Alex's mispronunciation of words or just Joe being silly, or Chris making a really funny joke, it's worth the price of admission just to watch the live episodes. Plus, you get to chat and interact with some amazing Goof Troop members that have me rolling on the floor in laughter first thing in the morning all the way till I go to sleep at night. It's just so much fun. And I wanted you to hear it from an actual Goof Troop member how cool it is to be a Diz His Patreon member. Just visit their website, DizHis.com, and click on the Goof Troop link for as low as $2 a month. That's only $24 a year. You get all this access and it's worth it. Trust me, DizHis.com. Click on the Goof Troop link.
Check us out streaming on award-winning Disney streaming site Sorcerer Radio on Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch us again at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Sorcerer Radio is an amazing 24/7 Disney radio. Just visit srsounds.com or download the Sorcerer Radio app.
Niels wants to know. Hello guys, welcome back to Niels Wants to Know with me, Niels from Niels Capturing Parks on Instagram. This month I would like to know from you, Usually it's a movie that gets an attraction, but sometimes it's the other way around, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, or Jungle Cruise. What attraction, restaurant, or land theme that doesn't have a movie yet would you like to see turned into a movie? Let's hear your answers.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
So someone doesn't have a movie yet. Great. Because it's hard because a lot of their stuff isn't not based on IP nowadays. Like that's all they're doing now.
No, but he said restaurant too.
I know. But yeah.
There's some good ones I can think of right off the top of my head.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
So my first initial answer was Big Thunder Mountain. That'd be cool to find out about that. But I know what Neil's answer is going to be, by the way.
Okay.
But I'll say that later. Mm-hmm. I think I would like to know more about, and we did an episode on this, Dinoland USA, a movie based on Dinoland USA.
So a movie based on an area they're getting rid of.
Yeah, I was about to say, a movie based on an area we're about to close.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't need to. All right, it's just a fun question. All right, I think that'd be really fun though, because when we did that episode, it was like, wow, why haven't they made a movie about this?
Mm-hmm.
Probably because no one cares.
Yeah, but that's pretty much what I was thinking.
But I really think that would be a fun one.
Do you have one, Ryan?
Well, I got two. So Phantom Manor, which would probably be Neil's answer, but
that's what I think his is going to be. Is it Phantom Manor or Mystic Manor?
Mystic Manor.
Some of them. It's a manor.
I haven't been there. Or if we can do restaurant, I would like something with Sunny Eclipse.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Some baby story. Oh my gosh. Why he's there.
That's such a good one.
Why his feet are so small.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Friar's Nook would be another good contender for movie.
It'd be good for movie, bad for food.
Disagree.
You know what I think would be a good one if they did one after
stop stalling.
He's googling right now.
No, if they did one after Buzz Lightyear canon, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, they haven't done a movie with Buzz Lightyear in it.
No.
Probably did the most movies.
I'm so bad at this.
There's several movies with Buzz Lightyear. It's one that's not even a Toy Story movie.
Maybe about Star Wars? Maybe a movie about Star Wars?
Could you do Rise of the Resistance?
Rise of the Resistance actually be a good one if you said that one, but you didn't. Because that's not a movie, right?
No, but for real.
Teacups?
I have no idea. I really don't have an idea. Space Mountain. Space Mountain would be the option. I think your Thunder Mountain would
just be dark.
It's just dark.
It'd just be flat.
All I do is shake you around in the dark.
And just cold air blowing at your face. a quick glimpse of astronauts and that's it.
I think Thunder Mountain would be a good one, Chris.
Right? I think that would be a good one. Why does that go have that light in its mouth, right? I want to know.
I think that would be a good one. I'm just going to take yours.
Neil's answer, I think, is going to be Mystic Manor.
Yeah,
but that's just the same thing as Haunted Mansion.
No,
it's completely different story.
It's a monkey.
You're right.
Then I think Thunder Mesa might be. Yes. That's going to be my dark horse.
There's also Journey to the Center of the Earth.
That was a movie.
But that was a movie though. Twice, I don't think it was based on that.
No. All right, let's see what he says.
All right, here's mine. In Disneyland Paris, we have Frontierland being set up as a Wild West town called Thunder Mesa. There's a whole backstory about this land already, connecting the gold rush to the Big Thunder Mountain mine and its owner, Henry Ravenswood, who knows ghostly mention is still looking over the mine company, known as Phantom Manor. I would love to learn more about Thunder Mesa and its inhabitants in a movie. So maybe one day, Disney. Oh, and now some Disney characters are losing their IP and turn into horror characters in horror movies. What about a new Haunted Mansion take with Pocahontas? Till next month, bye-bye.
Pocahontas. So, wow, I said we all agreed on Mystic Manor or whatever it is. And then I said Dark Horse. Thunder Mesa, and apparently it's the same exact thing. It's in the same land.
See, I always said I'd like to see a movie based on the League of Adventurers. They could do a whole series.
That's
on
a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. We're getting to know Neil's pretty good.
Mystic Manor probably tie into that.
Yeah. How about they do one on transportation? It's just like you know,
like
a train. Speed
on a like Casey Jr.
They have planes and trains. And cars. What else do you want? We don't have trains yet. Too soon.
Next week on Diz His, we'll be going over the history of Percy Jackson series. The original story was a bedtime story. The original story was a bedtime story that the author Rick Riordan told to his child, Haley. And when I say next week on Diz His, I'm using the royal next week we'll be doing it. Because actually, next week is going to be the first R&R episode. That's right. Oh. RJ and Ryan. No Chris and Alex. We're taking the week off. I'm going to drive up to New Jersey and hang out with Chris.
Yeah. We're going to watch it live.
Oh, wow. Really?
But yeah. RJ and Ryan are going to take over next week.
That's right.
And I don't know if they even have a guest.
We don't need no guest.
There it is. But next week, if you do want to watch live this train wreck that is RJ and Ryan, you can watch live by joining our Discord. And you can join our Discord by becoming a goof troop for as little as $2 a month. Just go to our link tree, and from there, you can join our Patreon. If you go for more than $2, like let's say $5 or more, you'll be entered to our future giveaways. From there, you can also access our blog, our social media. You can also, from there, get to our TeePublic. So all that's from our link tree. Please go to our social media. Please go to our YouTube. We're posting our video, our episodes on there. And then, of course, don't forget, the first episode of the month is going to be live on YouTube as well. Love to see people start watching us live on the first Tuesday or Wednesday of the month. Ryan, thanks for joining us for Dumbo.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad I can force you to watch it. Yeah. But
it's not
worked
the
out because your son liked
we
it.
Doing, but it's okay. I thought I was doing Helix, but...
But it worked out because your son liked Dumbo, right?
Yes, he loved it. Yeah, he loved it.
So it was very, it worked out.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Changing lives, one dated movie at a time. That's the His on Dumbo. I'm Chris.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ryan.
Thanks for listening and have a magical week.